Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If you watch championship games or series and stuff, other than the blowouts because you get a team off, they were heavyweight fighters punching it out. And they're not going to let you win on points. You got to knock them out. And I thought our guys just hung in there. They found a way. It won't go down as a classic, oh, look at all this greatness. But it should go down as a hard-fought win. And that's kind of where we are and where we'll be.
Game six, we know the atmosphere. We know how crazy it's going to be. We know what's at stake. But, you know, we're going to go out there and just go and shoot our shots. And if they fall, they fall. That's a bonus. But defensively, if we lock in like we've been doing, yeah, we got a chance.
That was James Harden preceded by Mike D'Antoni. What's happening, everybody? Happy Friday to all of you. And in the narrow picture of this series, it is a happy Friday. In the bigger picture of this series, it's a strange Friday. It's a very layered thing consuming this series. The sports gods won't totally let Houston have nice things quite yet. The World Series was fun. But we'll get into all having to do with this Rocket series today. John McClain will be by later at 4:20. Nice to be with all of you. We're here with you till 6 o'clock tonight. The Triple Threat, Ted and Rich both out today, so I get the privilege of doing the show with the soon-to-be co-host of Mad Radio. What are we down to, like 72 hours away, something like that?
I'm not good at math, but all I know is Tuesday at 6 a.m., we're going to have all sorts of energy. There's going to be all sorts of coffee drank, and we are going to have a great show.
It's going to be great. That's Paul Gallant, for those who don't know. For those, I think most of you are up to speed on it, but if you're, a lot of you going, wait, what? Hey, hang on, because not everybody gets to listen every single day. Not everybody reads the Houston Chronicle, things like that. But I think there are a lot of people out there that do love the station that may not know you are moving to mornings on Tuesday to join Mike and Seth.
I'm thrilled. I'm really thrilled. I love that show. I love those guys. And I think it's a tremendous opportunity. And I hope that I nail it out of the ballpark. I hope I change opinions that some people might have of me from previous appearances on other shows. I like to think that people like me for the most part. But I know that I am a tad abrasive. But not on today. Sean, you're right. I mean, it is kind of unfortunate with what happened to Chris Paul, but last night's Rockets win combined with game four, it's tough to not look at these guys who are basically playing with 6-7 players and just be really proud of what they've been able to do the last couple of games.
Yeah, I think proud is a great word to put it, because this is the type of basketball that is not aesthetically pleasing, but They found a way. I think Mike D'Antoni put it best. They found a way. I was on a show in North Carolina about an hour and a half ago. They had me on to talk about the conference finals. And they went through the box score, and they were listing everything on the box score. And
it's gross.
You look at this box score. Well, it's gross for both sides, but by and large, the Golden State Warriors won the box score last night. If you put your hand over the final score, and you did what I like to call box score forensics, and tried to pick out what the storylines were, who won the game, things like that, and go, who ended up winning this thing? The Warriors had a pretty balanced scoring. She didn't shoot the ball all that well, but their stars scored a bunch of points. James Harden had a horrible shooting night, although I liked his energy, and we can talk about that in just a little bit. But just as far as the overall game goes, they fought, man. And I said in the last segment of our show yesterday, Paul, with me and Ted, I said to Ted, I said, this series now is not going to represent anything like we've seen from these two teams in the past. Game four was a prologue to what this series is now going to be, because the benches have been shortened. There are injuries for both teams, at least nagging injuries. At that time, it was just a nagging injury. Now it's a real injury for Chris Paul, which we'll talk about. There's travel now involved for both teams, going back and forth across the country multiple times in a short period of time. There's going to be nothing aesthetically pleasing about this series going forward. This series will come down to the team that has more fight, the team that is willing to throw the last punch. And my feeling all year long about the Rockets has been, since January, the reason I feel they can beat Golden State in a series, the reason I felt that way, is I feel like this group of Rockets can get stops late in games like other groups of Rockets couldn't in the past. And they have dominated the last 2 minutes of these games with the Warriors.
I'm starting to change the way that I've been looking at them all playoffs long. I've been not disappointed, but underwhelmed with what we've seen out of them the first two rounds of the playoffs, because I always felt in those two rounds we were owed a performance like we had seen a lot in the regular season, and we saw it in a couple of games, but we didn't see it a whole lot.
Yeah.
Inconsistency from Eric Gordon, inconsistency from James Harden, inconsistency from Chris Paul, and you add all that up and you're thinking to yourself, going into a series against Golden State, this is going to be really tough to see them actually pull this off. But in the last two games, I don't know what specifically it's been. I don't know if it's Mike D'Antoni calling this team soft. I don't know what it is, but all of a sudden, they are playing a brand of basketball that it's not what you would have expected at all out of them in these playoffs and after this regular season, despite all the additions they made this offseason, getting a P.J. Tucker, Bamute, who's done nothing in this series, of course, having Trevor Ariza still around, who is forgotten and the most forgotten Houston Rocket, I think, and I think deserves a lot of credit for his very under-the-radar contributions the last couple of games. This team has sort of changed their DNA on the fly, and the Warriors are uncomfortable. I think that's the most that I've known. That's the thing that I'm really taking away right now. Maybe they were feeling fat and happy after the 41-point victory, but you take a look at the stat sheet, Sean, from yesterday, and there is one stat that you can look at, the turnovers.
Yeah, big time.
16-10 for Golden State, and then you just take a look at the last turnover for the Warriors, where Draymond Green pulled a Demaryius Thomas, has a ball passed right to him, and it bounces right off of his hands. I think that the cumulative effect of the Rockets just being essentially like, hey, 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 like poking them all game long, I think that eventually it got to them because they are not used to this. That is the big difference. The Warriors have gone up against a bunch of schlubs in the last year and a half compared to them. And now they're playing somebody that's on their level, and I don't think they're 100% sure how to respond. Again, they're going to have it easier in Game 6, but I'm really impressed with what the Rockets have done the last
two. The crazy thing about it, though, Paul, is like you said, the Rockets lost Game 3 by 41 points. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like this has been a theme that's carried this series. It's not 3-2 where the Warriors, the ball happened to bounce their way in the other two games. The other two games that they've won resoundingly with Warriors basketball against this Rockets team. And I guess that's the part that's a little scary if you're a Rockets fan when you add in the fact that Chris Paul, at the very least, is not going to play in Game 6. And I guess, and we'll talk about Game 6 here in just a second, but I'm glad you brought up Eric Gordon. Because he was a big reason they won that game.
I didn't even bring up Eric Gordon. I brought up Ariza. You're right. No, thank you.
But you mentioned Eric Gordon's name. And Ariza obviously was a big reason too. Ariza is a big reason why the box score looks like the Warriors won the game, but the Rockets actually won because a lot of the stuff he does doesn't show up.
Little tiny things
in the box score. They're little things. But Eric Gordon was a big reason.
Both ends of the court.
Yeah, both ends of the court. I don't want to say he's the reason they won the game. He did hit the biggest shot. The three-pointer to make it 95-91. Look, the Rockets were sitting on a chunk of game where they were hovering between a 4 and a 7 point lead for a while there, where one bucket kind of gives them enough distance to where you can feel comfortable that Golden State's going to have to start fouling them and things like that. They never got it to that point. Golden State crawls back into the game. Draymond Green hits that 3-pointer to make it a 1 point game, 92-91. And Eric Gordon off a pass from James Harden. And that's an example of James Harden in that game last night, finding another way to try to help his team win a game, and he had the assist. He drew the defense. He got the assist to Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon hits that three. Gordon was a huge reason, and Harden at least staying engaged and aggressive in the game. I know the box score looks ugly for him, and it looked ugly out there too, and he's going to knock down a three-pointer one of these days. He's 0 for his last 20, but I don't feel terrible about the way James Harden is playing because I feel like he's just missing shots right now.
I don't want to nitpick.
Yeah.
And if you've listened to me long enough, you know that I've been a very vocal James Harden critic during his entire time here with the Houston Rockets.
Yep.
He's got to change his strategy just a little bit. And I agree, he was aggressive in this game. It's not like he just mailed it in. I think the big thing for him right now, I think he's tired. I think he's just absolutely gassed. And look, just I thought going from this game to the next, this deep into the playoffs, playing 40 minutes a night, I mean, this is somewhere he has never been before. And you have to wonder about his long-term stamina. Maybe his legs aren't underneath him. He's missed his last 23-point shots. And you sort of saw there were signs in Game 1. If he's giving that much on the offensive end of things, you're probably going to lose something on the defensive end. He is playing on both ends of the court as best as he possibly can. And I'm not going to knock him for that. He is trying out there. I would like him to adapt his strategy a little bit on the offensive end. When he's not hitting his three-point shots, he is a good three-point shooter. He is not a great three-point shooter. I know he had the most in the NBA this year. But when he gets into these droughts, this is when I want him to start attacking in the mid-range and start driving towards the basket and work his way back out. Because if you get a little consistency right by the bucket for mid-range, then I think your confidence builds up. And I think that you have a better chance of hitting those shots.
Yeah, one problem for Harden, Paul, and this has been probably a problem throughout the postseason, but it's been more acute in this series because Golden State's just such a good defensive team on top of what I'm about to say. But the game doesn't get called the same way in the postseason that it does in the regular season. He's not getting a lot of the calls that he would get in a February game against the Pistons. You know what I mean? And so I'm with you. Like, you know, if you're just going to keep chucking up threes and missing them, let's find a different strategy and at least go get 2 points. There's no more efficient play in basketball, at least during the regular season, than James Harden driving to the hole.
Because
he either makes it and gets fouled, or he gets fouled and goes to the line and makes both foul shots. So I think we need to see more out of that. Hey, look at this. We're going to need to see everything out of James Harden in Game 6.
Yeah, no, this is a huge game.
Because there's no, for those who haven't heard, Chris Paul is out for Game 6 of this game.
This is a huge Game 6 for James Harden. Look, I don't want to knock the team after this win because they really did play well as a team, despite a performance from James Harden that was lacking. And it was lacking for the entire game. I mean, Chris Paul in the first half, he struggled too. And his second half, it was fantastic, and look, it sucks that he's going to be out for Game 6, and for our Adam Spillane, he is not 100% sure that he's even going to be able to play in a theoretical Game 7 on Monday, and he says
it's a hamstring.
He says that based off of the earliness of the announcement, that's not a good sign for Chris Paul going forward. Again, we'll have to keep an eye on that, even if it gets to Game 7, but this team that has been put together, I mean, shoot, we haven't even talked about Clint Capela. This is the first game where he's actually had an impact.
Yeah.
I mean, he played well. He had 12 points. He had 14 boards. And he had a couple of beautiful blocks.
He did.
Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, too.
I think it was the Green one. It might have been Durant. I can't remember which. I give Clint Capela a lot of credit. One of the blocks he had was, it was right at the rim. And it was right after he had picked up a couple fouls, like a couple cheapies. And it would have been easy for him to say, I can't pick up that next foul. I can't pick up three fouls in 5 minutes. I can't do that. But he stayed aggressive. He stayed disciplined. He stayed, you know, arm on arm, got all ball. I think it was the Draymond attempted dunk. It was right after he picked up a couple of fouls. So, yeah, Clint Capela kind of announced his presence with authority last night, too. Here's the thing. It's all hands on now. Like, all the guys we just named are going to need to bring their A game on Saturday
night. Oh, 100%. Like, you can't have inefficient night shooting. You're going to have to find a way to be more efficient. How they do it, I don't know. But I think moving around off the ball, off of that ISO from James Harden is a way to do it. And that has been a big problem for the Rockets, too. When Harden is in isolation, they don't move around. They don't get open.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.